the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Scott Butera, the CEO of Fubo Sports, on how the business model of his company is different from any other sports betting provider. The podcast is sponsored in part by Konami Gaming, now delivering Lucky Envelope to casinos across the U.S. on its award-winning Dimension 49J cabinet. Many experts in the sports betting world believe that streaming games live on sports betting platforms will boost revenues and increase participation. Fubo Sports has the unique ability to do that because of its connection to Fubo TV, a streaming video service that specializes in live sports. Scott Butera, who has experience in all aspects of the gaming industry from tribal gaming to commercial to online and sports betting, is CEO of Fubo Sports and explains that the company can draw from Fubo TV subscribers who are the exact demographic that enjoys sports betting. He says that the live streaming aspect of Fubo Sports will also bring subscribers to Fubo TV, making it a win-win for both divisions of the same company. He spoke with me from his home office in Las Vegas in February. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Scott Butera, the head of Fubo Gaming. Scott, great to see you. It's been a couple of years since we last got together, and you know, I think I've interviewed you at every stop in your career, and it's been a long career. So
yeah, no, I always enjoy talking to you, Roger. Glad things are going well. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sure. So, you know, you've been involved in so many different facets of the industry, from operations to finance to, restructuring and online gaming as well. Tell us why this Fubo Gaming sports betting position was really attracted to you.
Yeah. Having been involved in sports betting now for the last few years of my career, one of the things I always, sort of believed and found and still have seen come to fruition is that sports betting really works well as part of a, kind of global sports entertainment platform. And, you think about how people consume sports now. They really want interactive experiences. They want to be part of the action. When I was at MGM, as you mentioned, we saw that in live events. If you go to a Golden Knights hockey game, watching the hockey is like part of the show, right? They have entertainment. They have great food and beverage. People are, doing things on social media, and they're wagering.
Right.
They're buying merchandise and food. And what I saw is, is there a way to recreate, that kind of experience, on TV and with a media company? And Fubo is, incredibly, impressive story. And in the past 6 years, they've really grown as a, one of the leaders in sports first streaming. Mm-hmm. We covered about every sport. We did over 50,000 events a year. And we had a company that, unlike a lot of other media companies, was actually willing to go through the gaming licensing process, which
right.
is very important, because what that allows us to do is offer a product that's truly integrated. So all of our engineering, all of our marketing, all of our operational functions are completely integrated between streaming and wagering.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you, for example, turn on Fubo TV, and if you were to watch a game, and if you were to pull up your sports book, everything that's happening on the sportsbook app is completely synced to what's going on the TV. So we'll have offers that can follow what's going on in the game. We can offer, unique offers. If you're flipping from channel to channel, the sportsbook will flip from channel to channel. And we're just able to create some really unique experiences that I think will really drive that interactivity. The other thing that's really good is with Fubo, we have a subscriber base now of over 1 million people, and we're growing really strong, and expect that to be more like 4 or 5 million in the upcoming years.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of customer acquisition, we have a very sports-minded customer through our streaming platform that can convert, we believe, pretty seamlessly into wagering.
Sure.
Because of the interaction and because of the things we'll offer. And, when you think about how competitive it is to acquire customers, obviously it's very attractive to have that pool. The other thing is the wagering actually enhances what we're doing on streaming. So, if through wagering we can get people, to sign up for more TV, or our retention is better, or even if they watch more TV, and our average customer watches about 120 hours a month, that creates more advertising dollars, more subscriber revenues.
Sure.
So when we think about our platform, it's really unique because, yes, our wagering is set up to make money on wagering, but it's also to help us earn revenues on our streaming side and vice versa. So I really like that platform. I think it's unique. We're not really out there competing with, you know, some of the bigger companies like MGM and FanDuel and DraftKings.
Right.
We're trying to do something very different. We're much more of an interactive, you know, media company as we are a sports book.
Sure. Well, you know, I've tried some streaming platforms in the past, and I just couldn't find the sports things that I wanted to watch. You know, there was either you had to take out another subscription, and it was very complicated. Do you kind of streamline that for your customers?
Yeah, we cover, you know, just about most every sport. Like I said, we have all NFL games and most of the other major leagues. We have a lot of rights in soccer, which is actually our roots, mm-hmm. come in.
Right.
We also have a global presence. We're in Spain. We now acquired a company in France, and we're in Canada as well. We just secure EPL rights in Canada. So we do have a very strong complement of sports. And interestingly enough, we also have a very strong complement of news and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you think about it, you know, as we introduce other forms of gaming, like iGaming, you know, understanding people's, what they like to watch and what
sure.
their behavioral patterns is outside of sports can be helpful as well. So, for example, if you're somebody who likes to watch a game show network, likely you'll be a very strong iGaming customer.
Sure, yep.
And what's also interesting, I mentioned 120 hours a month that our subscribers watch TV. As we know from the casino business, really knowing your customer is really important. And the more you know, the more you're able to cater offers that, you know, are unique to that person and it'll be better received by that person. So we learn a lot about our customers. We always think about what is a person that likes sports like?
Right.
What is a sports-minded person like? So I like sports, but I also like food and beverage. I like home shows. I like travel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to really, you know, use those other aspects of our streaming service, again, to come up with offers and create what we think will be unique, either wagering or free-to-play or social gaming experiences that we think will also be important.
Sure. It sounds like this is going to be pretty disruptive to the sports betting industry. You're approaching your customers in an entirely different way than some of the other players are doing right now.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily disruptive, because I still think you have a very strong traditional sports betting business, and I do think that the folks that are out there doing well, you know, will continue to do well. I think this is just, you know, a unique product. It's a unique media product. It's a unique way to enjoy sports. So, I don't know how many others will follow, because I just don't know how many media companies
sure,
will be looking
right.
to go through the licensing process. Certainly, you can imagine the larger networks are unlikely to do that, which
mm-hmm.
is why most of those relationships right now are kind of affiliate relationships.
Right.
So I do think this is unique. And I think, you know, so far, you know, we're in a couple of states and the reaction to it has been very strong.
Sure. So because you're not a casino company, you know, whenever you go into a state, you have to operate as a skin. How have those discussions been going? Do you have a hurdle that you have to jump over there?
You know, initially we thought so, but we actually had really strong, you know, reception. I think we've announced 6 deals so far publicly.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very strong pipeline beyond that. And, you know, our engineering team will certainly be busy for the next 24 months. So, you know, with the exception of one or two states, we've pretty much gotten everywhere where we wanted to get so far.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're still working on those. You know, our goal is to be a national company on the wagering side, because our streaming platform is not as national. So where we have streamers, we want to have the ability to wager
right.
you know, for the most part. So that is our goal, is to be national. And we've made tremendous progress. And I think it's because we're unique. So if you're a casino company, and let's say you have 2 or 3 skins,
mm-hmm.
Well, you can go have 2 or 3 traditional books, and then you can have us, you know, as something that's a little different. And again, because we are a network, we actually have our own network. We have the ability to advertise. We can go to a partner and say, hey, you know, you're looking to obviously make money through a revenue share, but, you know, we can promote your property. If you have an event, we can put it on our network. If, you know, we can work with you on advertising, you know, certain things that you may want to have at your casino. So we can use our streaming platform to drive, you know, customer growth at our partners' facilities. You know, we also have some sports team partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we announced the Cavaliers in Ohio. We announced the Dynamo in Texas. You know, and same thing for them. So we can, you know, use our platform to help promote teams or events or content that they'd like to make public.
Sure. How about technology? Are you developing your own technology, or are you using technologies from some of the B2B providers?
Yeah, most of our technology is developed, you know, in-house. All of our streaming technology is developed in-house. Right. Our game technology is now integrating into that. And, you know, most of the customer front-end experience is in-house. We do work with some B2B providers for some, you know, what I'll call back-of-the-house, you know, back-end service providing. And that probably will, you know, we're, again, the young company. And, you know, I think the goal is ultimately we'll control as much as possible as we kind of ramp up. I think in the last year we've gone from, you know, 20 some odd employees to about 100 on the gaming side. And I think we have just under a little over 450 on our streaming side. So we're growing, you know, tremendously. Our goal is to ultimately, you know, own and control most of what we're doing on the technology side.
Okay, great.
And again, we're very unique, right? So from a B2B supplier there, we're a different animal, you know, because we're sort of this streaming, wagering, and soon to be other forms of, you know, gambling or contest type companies. So it's really hard to find someone that you know, has that. So really we need to do a lot of it in-house.
Right. Okay. So where are you operating right now?
Right now we're live in Iowa, which was our first state, mm-hmm. and Arizona, which we launched in December. You know, within the next, you know, month, we'll be in New Jersey and Indiana.
Okay.
And then we have a pretty robust pipeline, you know, beyond that. So like I say, I think over the course of the next 18 to 24 months, we'll be in quite a few states.
Okay. And are you looking at Canada as well? Obviously, they're open there.
Yeah, we have a pretty good presence in Canada that's mm-hmm. growing actually significantly. As I mentioned, we've secured some interesting rights for Canada. So that is a market that we're looking at.
Okay, great. What's your expectation for the upcoming Super Bowl here? I mean, obviously, the first time you're operating during this heavy betting season.
Yeah, I think the Super Bowl is going to be, you know, a record event,
right.
In so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just look at the euphoria around the playoffs this year. It's just been one of the more exciting, you know, lead-ins to a Super Bowl. I think having the event in Los Angeles with, you know, just an amazing state-of-the-art, never-seen-before facility.
Right.
The entertainment lineup, you know, the NFL and, you know, its related enterprises just get better and better at entertaining people around that event this year. So I think it's going to be a record, you know, I think it's going to be a record in terms of viewership, ticket sales prices, which are already kind of off the charts, and certainly wagering.
Okay, great. So you headed up MGM Interactive, you know, right prior to their launch of BetMGM. So what did you learn there that you're applying at your new position?
Yeah, and that was a great experience. You know, obviously BetMGM is doing a tremendous job and really enjoyed my time there. But, you know, it was really about, you know, from my time in the casino business, one of the biggest things I learned is that when you take a number of businesses, think about a casino, you have, you know, sort of, you know, gaming business, you have the hotel business, you have food and beverage, retail, entertainment, and a lot of these businesses on their own are kind of tough businesses, right?
Sure.
They're hard to operate. You need to be very efficient. They can be thin margin businesses. But when you put them together, you know, they really feed off one another, you know, which is why you can get a beautiful room in Las Vegas for, you know, maybe a third of the price of what it would cost you in New York. And same thing for a dinner or a show.
Right.
So what I learned is that if you have a platform of businesses that can relate to one another, and there are synergies in terms of marketing, and you have a platform that you can go to a customer and say, hey, here are several products that we can offer you and several revenue sources, that makes a lot of sense. And I saw that, you know, clearly MGM was great at that, not only in the sports betting business with the live events, et cetera, but certainly in the casino business. And that was the biggest lesson I learned. And that's why, you know, when I came to Fubo, I said, hey, look, you know, we've got this platform of you know, right now over a million, but strongly growing sports-minded subscribers, mm-hmm. you know, perfect for wagering, and I think perfect for other things that we'll do. So that's really, you know, what I learned is the value of really bringing businesses together that makes sense to go together, and then marketing as many things as possible as you can to a customer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So, you know, you mentioned the regulatory process. Obviously, you know, you've been in a lot of jurisdictions, so you've gotten a lot of licenses. Did you have to kind of explain to the people who own the company, you know, what that process is all about?
Yeah, they had been looking at this, so they had expected it, but
sure.
You never really know what it's like
right.
until you go through it. So certainly for our senior management and board, it was kind of a new experience. But now that we've been through it a few times, you know, it's kind of tedious the first time you go through it, and then, you know, they tend to be similar. So, and we have a very strong legal team that has been helping everybody. So it's always kind of a little bit of a shock to people when they, and
sure.
certainly when they
right.
ask them, you know, you can be in those meetings and, you know, you have like, you know, day-long interviews and they'll ask you questions from your childhood. And I think some of that was kind of new for people, but by and large, we've been very successful. You know, we haven't any problems. I think what I was more interested in is just how the regulators would accept our platform, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are introducing this, you know, TV and streaming element.
Sure.
Obviously, TV is available. You know, you can turn on your TV and anybody in your house can watch that. So, you know, in terms of making sure that we knew who our users were and that everybody was of age and, you know, the right type of customer were all, you know, things that we had to show them how we were handling.
Yeah.
And we put in very comprehensive programs for that. So to me, that I thought would be like the biggest hurdle. But so far, we've been successful in explaining that to regulators, and we've had good fortune in getting licensed in the time frames that we wanted to.
Okay. How about your app? Is that performing as you hoped it would?
Yeah, you know, again, it's early. We just launched it, and, you know, apps are kind of living, breathing things. So I think we're going to have a very, you know, I think exciting roadmap of features that we'll be launching throughout the year. But yeah, so far it's, you know, in the two states, like I said, we've gotten off to a good start. You know, we had the Watching Now feature for people who've signed up for that, where again, you can completely, you know, sync up what you're doing on sports and TV is really great. You know, we have something called Multiview on our Apple product, where you can see four games at once, and the sports members, you know, really like that. We saw a lot of, during college football, especially, you know, we saw a lot of activity and excitement around that product.
Yeah.
So far it's been, again, it's early, you know, we'll know a lot more, you know, come the summer, but, so far it's been well received.
Yeah. That sounds like a great, opportunity for March Madness when you got all those games going at the same time, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you know, like for Super Bowl, you know, you're watching one game, but there's still different ways to watch it.
And, right. Sure.
You know, I think with the Olympics coming up, you know, that's another, you know, interesting thing to do. So, you know, it's almost like creating your own sports book in your house. And again, those type of like, you know, entertaining, interactive experiences are what we're looking at. We also have a thing called Fan View where you can pull up statistics, and we're also going to look to maybe get bets, you know, up on the screen as well.
Yeah.
Not to necessarily bet through your TV, but that you can be following things almost like you follow a stock account or something like that. So,
okay.
Like I said, we have a lot of, I think, really cool integrations that, you know, we're going to roll out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to have to download that app. I live in Boulder City, so I'm about 5 miles from the Arizona border. So we'll see how good your geolocation is when I just pop over the border there.
Okay. No problem. That'd be good.
Great. So, you know, as your background in the casino industry, you understand the corporate responsibility aspect of the gaming industry, which is, of course, now part of the sports betting industry as well. So how are you kind of designing that kind of corporate philosophy as you go forward?
In terms of what, Roger?
In terms of being there for the community, responsible gaming, of course, above all, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So very, very, very strongly, you know, and that was something that we really focused in on. And we were lucky. We brought in some really strong professionals with a lot of industry background.
Sure.
Carl Sotosanti has joined us, you know, from the 20-year veteran in the business, very astute. And we have some others. But really what we've done is, you know, we've created a number of social, you know, responsible gambling programs that are all integrated into our app. We do a lot of community giving in the areas that we're located. We spend a lot of time educating our workforce on, you know, responsible gambling and what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And, you know, much to the dismay of some of our, you know, colleagues, they're not allowed to gamble the way that they have once done. And you know, our view, they may actually save you some money. We'll see.
Sure.
But, so we've done a fair amount in that community. We have, a very diverse group of people in our organization. We hire from all over the world, and we've, you know, we're certainly committed to doing that as we grow our business.
And I'm sure you'll support organizations like the International Center for Responsible Gaming and National Problem Gambling Council, that kind of groups?
Yes.
Yeah, great, great. Inspired by the gift-giving tradition of the red envelope, Konami's Lucky Envelope Premium Slot Series is bringing mystery cash prizes to players. Guests can open up their luck with mystery jackpot events, instant symbol-driven credit prizes, and more. See the video and download the brochure by visiting konamigaming.com/luckyenvelope. And now back to our podcast. you mentioned the cost per acquisition. I mean, it's so sky high now. I've been reading, in some publications where it's, as much as $300-$400 per acquiring a player. Are you going to play in that game? Or are you going to do it more sensibly?
Yeah, we'll do some, traditional marketing. Right. We're certainly not going to be paying exorbitant costs for that. We'll do that smartly. We have a very strong affiliate program and social media program, and we create our own, because we have, a network and studios, we can create a lot of our own content, which obviously helps with efficiencies. But really the magic to our marketing program is really using that subscriber base and really converting subscribers into wagerers. And again, our goal is not to be, one of the top players in terms of the market share in the nation.
Right.
For sports betting, our goal is to, create a really fun product that gets people to sign up for Fubo. And with Fubo, and you get TV, you get wagering and all the other things we're doing.
Sure.
So, I feel in terms of customer acquisition, again, that's why this platform and this, almost flywheel that I talk about was so important is for that. That's one of the biggest benefits of that is we're really not going to be out there, paying up for customers. And it's hard to make the math work on that. And, I know a lot of the, bigger players are saying, look, this is kind of a short-term thing and we're acquiring customers and then we'll be able to retain those customers at lower costs. And that's their game plan. Our game plan is more, hey, let's buy right. Let's acquire right.
Right.
Let's, get people to come in and buy the full range of our services. And then, if we get to a certain market share goals, but, clearly we don't need to be the number one player in every market.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you recently made a couple of deals with a couple of teams in Houston. Texas doesn't have sports betting and doesn't look like it's going to get it anytime soon. What was the strategy behind that?
Well, hopefully your last comment is not exactly true. We are hoping that in the next session we have success.
Right.
We felt it was unlikely in the last session, but we thought a lot of momentum had been made. And look, if you want to play in that market, and that's a very important market for us, we have a very strong streaming presence there. It's, got lots of sports across just every sport. Soccer, as I mentioned, is kind of our roots. We really have a strong presence in soccer. So hooking up with the Dynamo made a lot of sense for us. We want to be in Texas.
Right.
Those relationships were, I think they're all, if not all, pretty much all locked up. And they were a great partner for us. Houston's obviously, one of the top, MSAs in the country.
Sure.
So it's a good market to be in. So for us, it was a great fit. We love the Dynamo. They just went through an ownership change. Ownership is committed to building a winning team and a winning program, and the people there are fantastic. So we're really happy with that relationship. And like I say, from a strategic standpoint, we always try and match up, what we're doing in wagering with what we're doing in streaming.
Sure.
And that was a critical market for us.
Well, I wasn't thinking about people like Mark Cuban and Jerry Jones and Tillman Fertitta being owners of professional teams down there. So maybe you're right. It might happen this session.
Look, we're hopeful, obviously. And, I think ultimately most of these states, will come around, to approving it. Obviously they're going to see what's happening in surrounding states.
Right.
I think, Texas will come around. Massachusetts, I think, has been a little bit slower than probably the world had hoped, but hopefully that something happens this year there as well.
Right. So you were the commissioner for the Arena Football League for a couple of years. Also were involved in the rejuvenated XFL recently. Do you think that there's a future for indoor football? I know there's another league getting underway or expanding right now. What's the future for indoor football?
Yeah, I really do, and and there's also fan control football league.
Right.
And others that are getting started and they're having success. And I think those are really fun experiences. When I went to the AFL, it was interesting because, a lot of people were looking at that, from a development standpoint, not so much player development, but more like experiential development.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get football to be younger? And, can football appeal to the video game crowd? And Arena Football sets up well for that. And, the Arena Football League had a lot of legacy issues that had been around for 50 years.
Sure,
there was a lot of costs and union issues and things like that. And I think if it were started, today, I think it would do extremely well. It's fun. It's a 2-hour experience. You're in, you're out. It's indoors. It's weather controlled.
Right.
And what you can do in an indoor arena from an entertainment standpoint is very different than an outdoor arena.
Sure.
So in terms of, having fans, be able to see things in different ways and experience things in different ways. And And when you're, you know, near the game, you really feel like you're part of the action. You can hear the pads popping, if you will. So sure. I definitely think that that'll happen, you know, again, and it'll be very successful.
Okay. How about the startup of the USFL that's going to happen in
April? Yeah, that's fantastic. God, I remember the USFL from when I was a kid. And you know, I also think that's, you know, that's interesting. And, you know, I think they got good leadership there. And, you know, hopeful that that does well. I'm glad they kept the old logos and the old teams.
Yeah.
In its first iteration, the USFL, you know, is a little bit more, I think, started off a little more high octane. They were signing, I remember, big players. Becky White, Steve Young, Doug Flutie, Herschel Walker. So had a little bit different approach, but I think from what I know in reading about them, they seem to have a very sound approach to football, and certainly have experienced people that know what they're doing. So, hey, I hope it works. From our standpoint, it'd be great to have another football product.
Right. So, you know, those of us in the industry understand that you know, online gaming is really much more potentially profitable than sports betting is. There's a much bigger margin in online gaming. What are your intentions when it comes to online gaming?
Yeah, we obviously want online gaming. As I mentioned, you know, Fubo TV, in addition to all the sports offerings we have over 100 channels. Mm-hmm. Many of them are, you know, entertainment channels that I think cater well to understanding an iGaming customer. Mm-hmm. You know, like I say, if you're watching a game show network, you're going to want to play a game.
Right.
So I think iGaming, and I also think other forms of gaming. You know, we have a free-to-play product, which enhances, you know, customer retention and integration. And I think we'll have social gaming and potentially hopefully peer-to-peer gaming. And again, there's a lot of things we can do within our community of subscribers that will create a lot of fun and get people to watch more TV.
So, you know, you mentioned you're going to be active in New Jersey and Indiana pretty soon. I know New Jersey's got online gaming. Indiana looks like they're headed in that direction as well. Are you, when you get into New Jersey, will you offer some sort of online gaming there?
Yeah, initially we're going to offer sports first and then look to get into online gaming afterwards. We also secured a license in Pennsylvania, which has online gaming. So, you know, we'll hopefully be in there shortly with online gaming. So those are two states where we'll look to have online gaming.
Okay, great. So what do you see the future of online sports betting and online gaming in this country? Do you think the ceiling is anywhere near?
No, you know, I think it's all from a revenue standpoint going to continue to grow substantially as more people get familiar with it, as different types of products, you know, become offered. You know, again, it's still a very young business, a couple of years, you know, old, and I still think there's a very, you know, big community out there that's just starting to understand it. I think there'll be a lot of development on the product side that'll make it a lot more user-friendly, you know, so that you can get more of the casual, you know, gamer involved. I think the types of games will evolve. Like I said, I think more of this peer-to-peer and maybe exchange-type wagering, you know, will become prevalent. So I think you're going to see tremendous innovation in product. You know, you'll probably see some, you know, changes in the landscape. You know, some operators will continue to prosper. Some may not. And we've already seen a couple operators, I think, decide to exit the market already. So there'll definitely be shakeout in terms of who the operators are. But in terms of actual wagering and the experience, I think the experience is going to get better and better. Mm-hmm. You know, there are going to be people that are doing like what we're doing and saying, how can I integrate sports betting or online wagering into other entertainment platforms? Right. I think that'll continue to grow. I think the way that, you know, on the streaming side, I also think you'll see, you know, we see it almost every day, tremendous innovation in terms of how people watch sports, you know, the way you can watch it, the statistics you get, the different, you know, ways that they cover it with cameras and chips on players and all that kind of thing is just going to continue to proliferate. So it's an exciting place to be.
Sure, no question. Well, Scott, good luck with this. You know, it's just in its infancy, as you mentioned, and I think you've got a real opportunity here to make this something really different and to grow the rest of your business as well.
I appreciate it, Roger. Thank you. We're excited.
Great. We'll stay in touch, sir.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast with thanks again to Konami Gaming. Check out konamigaming.com/luckyenvelope for a look at the newest original series on Dimension 49J. To learn more about the competitive landscape of sports betting and who will come out on top, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.